talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide in civic media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And there has been a disclosure about some of the secret negotiations in the Republican Party as they're conspiring to bust the debt limit, not permit it to be extended, make the United States default, trying to make Joe Biden look bad, and to get him to cut Social Security. And here are the disclosures. It turns out there have been private discussions, and this has been pushed by Mike Pence, of all people, Mike Pence, to ultimately privatize Social Security, which is an idea that George W. Bush floated back in 2006. And in conjunction with that, the Republicans are convening a commission. They're convening a panel to, quote, examine Social Security and Medicare solvency as part of the debt limit negotiations. This has been described by Joe Biden in the White House as a death panel for Social Security and Medicare. What do we make of all this? Let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, the notion that they should privatize Social Security has been around a long time. Social Security was passed in 1935. The U.S. Supreme Court back then had held almost all of the New Deal unconstitutional because they were all right-wing Republicans, very similar to what we have right now, and they just pulled it out of thin air. They said it's unconstitutional. If we say it's unconstitutional, therefore, anything having to do with regulating trade or regulating anything or unemployment comp, worker comp, child labor laws, unconstitutional. Why? Because the Republican Party didn't want them. Now, but in 1935, Roosevelt had had enough, and Roosevelt threatened to pack the court. You've heard that before, and add another five, seven, or nine justices. And he could have rammed it through because he had a majority in the legislature. And the Supreme Court got scared, and a guy named Owen Roberts chickened out, right-wing Republican justice. And he chickened out, and he went over to the common sense side. And so by a very narrow margin, Social Security was declared constitutional. Right away, in the very next election, and ever since, the Republicans have said, well, vote for us, we'll make it better. Roosevelt was great. You can get this on YouTube. Go back and listen to his speech. Because he has that sort of aristocratic intonation from Dutchess County in New York. And he goes, they want to make it better. Of course they do. Of course they do. You know, dripping with sarcasm. Every couple of years, they come up with a scheme. Privatizing is the one they've been coming up with for the last 20 years. What do they mean by that? And why is it a bad idea? Obviously, the Senate wouldn't pass, and obviously Joe Biden would veto it. They are threatening through this panel to demand that, or to demand that it be put on some sort of long-term track, or they won't extend the debt limit. By privatizing, they mean that you would put your money, instead of paying it in as a Social Security tax, which you do right now, and the employer is a payroll tax for Social Security, they'd put it into the market. They put it into the stock market, the bond market. And there are various proposals. One of them is you decide where it should go. That is a terrible idea. Why is it a terrible idea? Because when it comes to investing, most people don't know beans. They don't know beans. I know people who put a lot of their money into Japanese small cap stocks in the 1980s when they were at the top. And then there was stagflation. And for, well, almost 40 years, more than 30 years, it's sunk like a stone and gone nowhere. I know people who the minute Trump got elected, or it looked like he was going to be elected, took all their money out of stocks, saying that there'd be a depression. And the stocks went through the roof. I know people, they think they're pretty smart, who put their money into crypto stocks, and they lost money. People are gamblers. People are uneducated on investing. Nobody should invest like that. There's a book that I want to commend to you. It's called Winning the Loser's Game by Charles Ellis. Winning the Loser's Game. If you have any interest in this at all, read it. It's one of the best I've ever read, and it's fairly short. And he is one of the principals at Vanguard, which heavily favors mutual funds and passive investing and not trying to screw around and time the market. And he points out a couple of things. From 1925 to the present, stocks averaged, give or take a little bit here or there, around 10.5% a year. So the Republicans go, oh, great, you're going to get 10.5% a year. In that 98 years, it's only been 10.5% twice. Sometimes it's been up 30, down 40, up 10, down 9. You see what happens. A couple of other things. If you put money into the stock market in 1925, you would have done very well through all sorts of recessions and boom and bust. But, and here's a ticker, if you had gotten out of the stock market in 2 years, the early 30s and the early 50s, I think it was 1933 and 1954, you wouldn't have made a dime. You wouldn't have made a dime. And most people, if they were trying to time it, wouldn't have been in the stock market in 1933. It was the year after, you know, middle of the Depression and the year after Roosevelt got elected. And most people in 1954, after 20 years of Roosevelt, World War II, the atom bomb, Korean War, might not be in the stock market. If you missed the 90 best days in 98 years, your return would have gone from 10.5% down to about 4% for the whole 98 years. If you missed the 30 best days, it would have been cut in half. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of hot shots that go, I know when to get out of the stock market. There is nobody, not Albert Einstein, nobody knows the exact day to get back in. And if you miss that day 30 times, your returns over 98 years are cut in half. And if you miss that day 90 times, you make nothing over 98 years. You don't know what you're doing in investing. It's basically a crapshoot. And there are dishonesties in the stock market. There's insider trading and a lot of other things. So the idea of having the average person, I'm not talking about hotshot investors who went to Wharton Business School. I'm talking about the average person investing his own money and then expecting to have a steady income when he's retired. It's a cruel joke. It's a very cruel joke. And the Republicans want to do it because then they would be freed of any obligation to do anything for people ever. Let me tell you something. If something like that passed and half the country went broke and had nothing, they'd have to go in and come up with some kind of welfare proposal or there'd be a revolution. This is the stupidest, worst policy I have ever heard. And that is being seriously discussed. And Mike Pence is the brain surgeon, and I say that laughingly, behind this, picking up on a George W. Bush proposal in 2006, which in turn picked up on some other Republican proposals in the past. The last time we were on the air Friday, I said that there was some hope. This fellow Brian Fitzpatrick, Republican from Pennsylvania, had said, well, maybe there'll be a discharge petition. It only is going to take 5 or 6 Republicans out of the whole mess to join all the Democrats, and they can bypass McCarthy and they can increase the debt limit. But a fellow named Don Bacon of Nebraska, who's the moderate's moderate. This guy is like the quintessential Republican moderate. He's always taking shots at the far right. He came out over the weekend and said, no, we're not going to sidestep McCarthy. There will not be a discharge petition. Now, who asked him? He's shooting his mouth off, maybe, or maybe he's talked with the other so-called moderates. But we are coming to a point, because they are setting up what the White House has described as this death panel for Social Security and Medicare. we've come to the point where they are essentially using blackmail. They're like kidnappers holding a pistol to the hostage and say to the police, if you step one step closer to me, the kid gets it. That's what they are doing. Now, I've suggested in the past that under the 14th Amendment, Joe Biden can simply order the Federal Reserve and order the Treasury Department to issue bonds to pay for. Remember something, this debt, this isn't new spending. This is old spending. It's a second vote on something they already voted on that said it was okay. Now they're going to say, well, we're not going to pay for it. He could do that. A lot of prominent economists say that that would be a bad idea, that that would jar the markets themselves. I express no opinion on that. But at some point, Joe Biden cannot let the full faith and credit of the United States be called into question, especially on pensions, when the 14th Amendment in the Constitution forbids it. Forbids it. So you know what they're up to, the skullduggery they're up to. And what they're banking on is that Joe Biden will blink and they say, oh, we're not asking for Social Security cuts. We're asking for privatization. But if Joe wants to cut, Joe wants to cut. And then, of course, he won't. And then what? Investors are not going to be paid. Interest is not going to be paid. When this happened with the Republicans 10 years ago, our bond rating fell. The U.S. government's bond rating. It's a blue chip investment. It's the most blue chip in the world. The bond rating fell. When the bond rating falls, you pay more in interest for the bonds. You have to for people to buy your bonds. The Republican Party is using the full faith and credit of the United States and our country as a hostage and pointing a gun to its head. That's what they're doing. And they are going to cost a lot of money. They cost tens of billions of dollars last time they did this. They're not only financially illiterate, they not only are standing for commie government in elections, they're standing for commie government in the economy. Go to a break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
I'm fixing a hole.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are alive. Going to you in order. Do not hang up. In order, the first person is Jack Amerimack, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
Well, I'm not quite sure when it started, but did you ever hear of a little thing called Medicare Advantage, sometimes known as medical disadvantage?
Yeah, I have. I think it's a bad idea, isn't it, Jack?
It's horrible. And this is what's being proposed for Social Security. Let's partially privatize a system that works very, very well right now. Let's partially privatize it. And you can see the havoc it's going to cause. Medicare is almost about to go under because of the number of people that are on the private insurance called Medicare Advantage. It's been gradually wearing away Medicare and Medicare funding, and now you've got a situation where Medicare is, you know, there's got to be a tipping point somewhere where it won't be able to help enough people. The same thing, the whole idea is this is what they're trying to propose with Social Security. Let's give them a choice. Let's have people partially be able to privatize the funding for Social Security. And gradually, it wears away until there is no more Social Security, and people don't have any kind of a safety net when they retire. That's
right.
The idea.
Thank you, Jack. Everybody, do not fall for some baloney about how, well, it can be up to you if you want to privatize, and maybe some people want to. It just sucks out Social Security. Think of it this way. Let's say you get $2,000 a month, Social Security. or $1,500 a month or $3,000 a month, whatever it is, it probably gives you enough income to rent an apartment that's heated in the winter, okay, and a little food. In West Virginia, 60%, 60, of people over 65 depend entirely or heavily on Social Security for their income. If you start letting some people privatize and some not, sucks money out of Social Security and it will go under. And that's what they want. That is what they want. Just remember, if you think you're an investing hotshot and you're going to say, oh, I'm not going to pay Social Security taxes, I'll put it in the stock market. I'm a big man. I'm a big man. Well, no, you're not. Nobody is that much of a big man because nobody knows the exact day in 98 years, 30 times or 90 times to go in. You may get the next day or the next day, but if you miss the best day, you'll get nothing. Now, let me tell you something else. If you do that, if you vote Republican and permit them to undermine Social Security that way, it'll be like the 1920s and the 19-teens. You have old folks with no income having to live with their kids or in a hut somewhere, eating cat food and with no heat, or they go out in the forest and, you know, cut down a tree, and you're not going to be doing that in a lot of places anymore. Do not let the Republicans privatize Social Security, and that is their angle in trying to leverage Joe Biden on the debt crisis. Thanks for calling. Adrian of Madison, you're next, my friend. What's on your mind today, Adrian?
We've been through a civil war, two world wars, and a Great Depression. And through all that, we've never defaulted on our debt. And I think it's just a travesty of unimaginable proportion that the Republicans are flirting with the idea of pushing us into default just to embarrass Joe Biden. And the economic ramifications of defaulting on our debt are just unimaginable.
You're right. And it's so irresponsible. Let me give you a couple of examples. You know, we have the top bond rating because everybody buys U.S. Treasuries because they know they're solid. If we default, you may go down, let's say, go down to double A or A eventually. You pay more interest on the bonds. So then, right now, our bonds might pay 1% or 1.5% or 2%. How about if we had to pay 6% or 7%? Where does that money come from? It comes from taxpayers. It comes from our coffers and impoverishes us more. The Republican Party are vandals, and they are deliberately injuring the United States. Thank you for calling. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Yeah, one thing about Social Security, Matt, is when you invest with a group of people, not everybody's going to make it, so you got a better chance of having money when you retire at 65. If you invest individually, you got to do really good to have even $2,000 a month. And this leads me to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race again, fair maps. There's only one person preaching that, and we'll do it, Janet P. Without fair maps, you end up with congressional people that do not represent the people. So I'm going to harp on this all the way up until the primary and through the election. People that need to go out and vote for Judge, the only one is Judge Janet. So with that, thanks for listening to me, Matt. Bye.
That is an excellent point. It's an excellent point. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, she's the only one. There's four candidates. Do you realize, everybody, that the election is two weeks from today? 2 weeks from today. And you'll end up with a Dan Kelly or a Jennifer Doro if you're not careful. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Protasiewicz. I know her. She's terrific. She's a strong prosecutor, fair, firm prosecutor. She's a great judge. And she has said, bring a gerrymander lawsuit the day after I get sworn in, and I'll tell you what, we're going to take care of those rig maps. And on the 1849 statute, there's no way. She said, that's not constitutional. And she said, when Fred Pren was in there and putting cancer and cancering up our fish, no way, she said. He shouldn't have been in there. She will take care of cancer chemical regulation, make sure that it can be done by the DNR. She will make sure that there is no gerrymandering. Judge Janet P., 10 years, 10-year term. Otherwise, you'll have gerrymandering for 10 years. Go to a break. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. right after the break on the lines. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for going. What's on your mind, eh, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Great show, as usual. Kind of a bum deal there. But you know what? You know, this has been happening over a long period of time. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are, I'm sorry, Republicans. I used to vote a lot for Republicans. I've always been independent, but this is not the party of the Republicans. Since it was taken over by the Tea Party and the very wealthy Americans who are telling these people how to vote, they don't even listen to the people at all, period, nada, because they wouldn't be robbing from the poor to give to their wealthy donors, because people have paid into this program for their entire working lives. People pay taxes. You may not pay a ton of taxes, but you pay taxes on every single thing that you use and do. And the only way to put a stop to this is that each one of us has to take responsibility. Every one of us. We can't sit home. We have to call parents, neighbors, anybody who don't get this information like you do, and share it, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be slapped alongside of the head and knocked to the ground because they don't have the knowledge on it, and we need to let them know, because it's our responsibility to fight back, because they wouldn't have this power unless we gave it to them, and we're giving it to them on a daily basis. When you watch those people with the R after their name standing up there making fools out of themselves, not paying their bills and blaming Biden and the Democrats for everything when they're not doing anything. And you know what? They love Russia, Russia, Russia. How do you want to live like people in Russia when your parents, grandparents, loved ones, disabled, are out on the street because you can't get any help? But guess what? Maybe they'll tax you more, and maybe you'll lose your home. And guess what? You won't have any money, and you won't have any assistance, because guess what? You voted in people with an R after their name, and they don't give a crap about anybody but themselves. And you got to watch them live. You have to see it, because I never seen it like this, guys. You know, Democrats, Republicans, they used to argue bits and pieces about different things. But it's different now. It is like a vendetta against the people of our country. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. When we all have more in common than we do apart, and we need to love each other and care enough about each other that we care about everybody in our state and in our country, that they have a fair shake and that they are taken care of and they don't end up in the street. Because take a look at those impoverished countries that have fighting all the time and that have lies spread. And we have great things in America, but we have to fight to keep them. And I hope everybody get out to vote for Judge Janet, because it started in Wisconsin and Iowa and North Carolina. And we have to fight back, guys. And please bring all the people you can, get them out to vote, because it starts here in Wisconsin. Thank you, Matt.
Janet, that was the most articulate statement of the truth right now that I think I've ever had. I think we're going to tape that and just play it every once in a while. That was outstanding. You're absolutely right. Thank you very much for calling in. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Andy?
Well, Matt, they shouldn't even allow the insurance companies to use the word Medicare in their advertising when they talk about Medicare Advantage, because that's, you know, I mean, it's a falsehood. A lot of people get into it. Oh, no copays, and you don't have to hardly pay anything, but you wind up in the bad news. But one thing I wanted to bring up, one of your favorite subjects, is Putin. And in the five presidents that we've had since he came to power, Clinton was on the way out. But out of the five
presidents we've had, only two really recognized Putin for what he was. And Clinton thought at first he could go in there, and then he found out this guy is a liar and you can't trust him in anything. Then we had the two dope presidents, George W. Bush and Trump, who Putin knew he could sucker these guys because they just basically had no clue. Obama probably wasn't respected, unfortunately, because he was black. Joe Biden, though, the guy that's currently president, really understands Putin, and that's why he's putting so much effort in the Ukraine, because they have to stop this guy or get rid of him somehow, because it's not a good deal. He wants to rebuild the Soviet Union. That's his goal, and he's going to do everything he can, no matter what it costs, to get to that goal. And we've got to, as a world, we've got to put up a fight to it. But anyway, nice to talk to you. What you're going to get to the point where it's going to be all calls. You're hardly able to get here back as like last year when you were on the afternoon, and you'd have so many calls you could hardly. Yeah. Get a chance, but that's what, you know.
Well, I appreciate it, Andy. And on Putin, we're preaching to the choir here. You know that. With Putin, he's an evil man. He's a Nazi. He's a Hitler. He has to be killed. And quite frankly, they have to be stopped. I couldn't agree more. And I frankly agree with you about the five presidents. And I'll tell you what, Clinton understood him very, very well, and pushed back when Serbia started to invade other countries, and they were allies of Putin. Biden has been magnificent, but Bush, remember George W. Bush? He said, I looked into his eyes. It sounded like a bromance or something. I looked into his eyes and his soul and give me a break. And Trump's on the take. Trump is a Russian asset. He's a Russian intelligence asset. Trump is corrupt. He's crooked. He lies. And he's on the take from Putin. And Joe Biden has been magnificent. Obama, you know, you were talking about the issue of race and all that. But, you know, Obama disappointed me, and I'll tell you why. Because when Putin went into Crimea in 2014, Joe Biden was the VP, and Joe Biden said, we've got to give the Ukrainians stingers and javelins, and we've got to arm them and stop them in Ukraine. Because by taking the Crimean Peninsula, They command the Black Sea, and they can blockade Odessa, which is the only real Black Sea port that Ukraine has to ship out its goods. And the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff and all the Joint Chiefs told Obama, we got to arm the Ukrainians. And the head of the CIA, Brennan, we got to arm the Ukrainians. And Obama, you know, he's basically a community organizer. He goes, well, that's not my priority. What do you mean it's not my? Because what? It's in Europe? I mean, stopping the Russians has been our priority since 1945. And before that, stopping Japan and Nazi Germany is our priority. And so what is your priority? And by Putin taking Crimea, and frankly, under George W. Bush going into Georgia, and I'm not talking about Atlanta, Georgia, I'm talking about Georgia, Georgia. And they took the president Shaakashvili and they put him in jail, and he is down to 90 pounds, and they're slowly starving the guy. Putin's a sadist. Bush, frankly, and Trump's on the take from Putin, but Bush and Obama did a bad job on that. But Biden is, thank God, here, but we got to stand by him, and you cannot have a guy like Trump back in there. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling Western Mind today, Dick.
Well, that was something that John McCain also advocated for when that situation went on in Crimea, and I totally agreed with him on that, and I didn't agree with him on a lot of things. On most things. But, you know, earlier when you said there'd be a revolution if they did something like this with Social Security, I totally agree. I literally think people would take to the streets over something like that. It's just crazy. And, you know, Mike Pence, of all people, I mean, like you said, a real brain surgeon. Well, Jethro Bodine was a brain surgeon, too, until he decided to be a short order cook. Maybe that's what Pence should do. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
You know, no, you hit a good point. I mean, here's the deal. And I want to emphasize this. I don't care how smart you are out there. I don't care if you took business courses. you are not smart enough to outsmart the market. You simply are not. I don't care what you think you are. You're a gambler. I don't hear about it. In 98 years, if you had stayed out in 2 years, 1933 and 1954, you wouldn't have made anything over 98 years. And if you had missed the 90 best days in 98 years, you would have made about 2%, 3%. If you missed the 30 best days, are you kidding me? Out of 98 years? 30 days, the right day to get back in, the right day to get back in. Nobody knows the right day to get back in. Nobody knows the exact bottom. It would have been cut in half. You got to go read Winning the Loser's Game by Charles Ellis, E-L-L-I-S. Whatever you do, it's a very important, interesting book. And I'll tell you, the Republicans this time, they have a very slim majority, but when this fellow Bacon, who's a moderate Republican congressman from Omaha, is swallowing the Kool-Aid and some of these other guys, without a discharge petition, Joe Biden's going to have to rely on the 14th Amendment. And then if the Supreme Court, we have the same kind of Supreme Court that they had in the 1930s that obstructed Roosevelt. At some point, he's got to do what Lincoln did to the courts when they try to enjoin him during the Civil War in Maryland, for instance, federal court. You can't use the writ of habeas corpus to get traitors. He ignored them. At some point, you got to save this country. I want to go to something as a poll, and we don't have too much time in this segment, so I'll spill over to the next segment. Poll just came out. Now, it's way in advance. 2024 Republican primary, 3,000 Republican respondents, 1.8 margin of error. In a large field, Trump 37%, DeSantis 33%, very close. Pence 7%, Nikki Haley 5%, Tim Scott 2%, Crooked Mike Pompeo 1%, Glenn Youngkin 1%, undecided 14%. But if it's head-to-head, DeSantis against Trump, DeSantis 49%, Trump 40%. What this says to me, and it's a snapshot way the heck in advance, what this says to me, a guy like DeSantis is a very, very suboptimal kind of candidate. I mean, this guy is no great shakes. He's bad news. He has a high squeaky voice. He, you know, I mean, the guy doesn't come across, to say nothing of the fact, that he called Dr. Fauci an elf and said he should throw him across the Potomac, to say nothing of the fact that in Florida, he is, frankly, abusing that state and abusing that society in every piece of legislation. But what it says to me is that Trump is not invulnerable as I'd previously thought. And it says something else to me. The Republican Party has got to define itself. Are they all going to be like Trump and Tucker Carlson for Putin, for the sadism and rape of Ukraine? Are they all going to be afraid to stand up to the commie Ruskies and the Norks, the Chaikoms, Victor Charlie, all these characters around the, you know, jihadists around the country, around the world? Or are they going to have a strong American foreign policy? And they're going to have some differences on other things, taxes, whatever. But are they going to stand behind the full faith and credit of our country? Are they going to extend the debt limit and actually pay our bills? Are they going to act like responsible Republicans in the past, even if they were conservative, we didn't agree with them? The jury is still out. And I look at that rogues gallery of there, besides Trump, of DeSantis, Pence, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Mike Crooked, Mike Pompeo, Glenn Youngkin, and I don't get any confidence in them at all. I'm for Biden. We're for Biden in 2024. That said, things can take a bad bounce. And what I took away from this poll, if there's any good news in it, is that Trump is close to the margin of error over DeSantis, and DeSantis is nobody. He's nothing. He's garbage, frankly. The other very strange thing about this poll, when they ask people to subdefine themselves as Republicans, are you very conservative or somewhat conservative? Under the very conservative, Trump beat DeSantis by 16 percentage points. Under the somewhat conservative, i.e. the more moderate, DeSantis led Trump by 6%. So there is going to be a fight. There's a civil war in the Republican Party going on right now. Any poll snapshot like this, which is something like almost 2 years, 18, 19, 20 months before the election, probably isn't worth the paper it's printed on as far as a precise predictor, but it can show trends. It can show general sentiment. And to me, the fact that Trump in a multi-field does lead, but he only leads DeSantis by 4 points is shocking. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Lauren Boebert from Rifle, Colorado, just said something that's emblematic of what the Republican Party has been doing. In my view, she should be prosecuted, and I'll explain why, but she probably won't be. And this shows the increasing flirtation with violence by the Republican Party. Lauren Boebert got up in church out in Colorado, and here is her prayer. Bows her head and say, Lord, may Biden's days be few and another take his office. May Biden's days be few and another take his office. That's an invitation, in my opinion, to violence against the president of the United States, which is a felony, to advocate it. Back in 1976, when Jimmy Carter was elected president, one of the leaders of the Utah Republican Party, a woman, said that she'd like to take a gun and shoot Carter. The Secret Service came around to talk to her, told her that was a felony. She apologized and groveled, and I think she got off. Donald Trump, in the 2016 election, said the Second Amendment people should take care of Hillary Clinton. Those are the words he used, take care. The Secret Service talked to him. He said he meant that they should vote against her. He was lying, of course. He lies with every time he breathes. He then said afterwards that her bodyguard should be disarmed. There's this imputation of violence, and people pick up on it. The January 6th insurrectionists who went up there and built a gallows to murder the vice president of the United States, murder the Speaker of the House, and got off, frankly, many of them slapping the wrist. They breathe that in from Trump. When Trump was told that it would be a bad idea to take away the metal detectors because people were armed, he said, well, they're not here to hurt me. I mean, it's fine if they want to kill Pence and Pelosi. At what point do we prosecute this? People have become, in the Republican Party, very, very expert at going right to the edge, suggesting violence in our culture. When Lauren Boebert says in church, Lord, may Biden's days be few and another take his office. Is it a felony to say that you hope the president has a heart attack? Is it a felony if I say Trump should have a heart attack now that he is he's a candidate, so he's protected by that kind of law? I do not say that because that's not what I believe. But is it at what point in the past, what happened was the average person, when they made a threat, were kind of upfront about it and they'd be arrested. But these Republican politicians are nudging it, winking at it, using nuance, is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And you'd think that the check and balance would be the voters. You know, if a Democrat were to talk like this, the Second Amendment people should take care of somebody, I wouldn't vote for him. But Republicans vote for him. This is a very disturbing indication in our culture that there's a growing, I don't know, comfort level on the part of some people with violence in our politics, which had been absent since the Civil War. Going to a break. No, we're not going to a break. We're going to the lines. Jake of Eureka, my friend. Eureka, California. Thanks for calling, Jake. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, what is behavior, what you see with these Republican politicians who are clearly encouraging their followers to commit violence? It's just like what you saw with Jonestown. In fact, the GOP basically is Jonestown at this point. And Donald Trump is just, you know, an orange, obese version of Jim Jones. I mean, you know, Jackie Speier, who is no longer in Congress, but, you know, former California congresswoman, of course, she almost died at Jonestown. And the congressman that she worked for from that at that time was murdered by those cult members at Jonestown. And we saw what happened on January 6th. They don't behave like a political party anymore. They behave like a bizarre, psychotic, self-destructive, and frankly, you know, murderous religious movement of some kind, which is what the Nazis, after all, were. The Nazis basically were like a religious movement with Hitler as their god. And they worship this orange, you know, or golden calf, should I say, to make a biblical reference, in Donald Trump. And it's just pathetic that they want to use Christianity and claim they're Christian when they're completely anti-Christian.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Jake. Yeah, Leo Ryan, I think, was the congressman. Jackie Speier was his aide. And in Jonestown, they went down to South America. And, of course, these people, when you say drink the Kool-Aid, many people nowadays don't remember what that is. There was a poison Kool-Aid, and they all drank it, and hundreds of people died. They all committed suicide. And this fellow, Jim Jones, you know, would have sex with everybody's wives, and that was okay with them. And people can be sheep, unfortunately. People can be sheep. But what I want to commend to the Republican Party, because this is simply can't go on like this. It can't go on like this until there will be an act of violence, and it will rend this country badly, as it did back in the Civil War when the South Carolina congressman attacked a Republican senator, Charles Sumner, in the Senate. In those days, the Republicans were the abolitionist party, the Democrats were the segregation party. And he didn't like what he said about slavery and beat him with a lead-headed cane and almost killed him right there in the Senate. And then, of course, you had the Civil War, something like 650,000 casualties. You know, people in those days, I mean, the technology was pretty slim. You line up, there's a bugle, and you run at each other with bayonets. And you shoot cannons, you get close, you're just hacking away with a bayonet. I mean, it wasn't all that different from medieval broadswords where, you know, you're in there. It was horrible. And that is what it came down to in the fight over slavery. Well, now it's not clear to me what it is over. I think it's over immigration. It's over the changing demographics in the country. I do get that. And I do think that our immigration policy is wrong. And I think that's fairly a subject to debate. But you don't have a congresswoman get up and say, may Biden's days be few and another take his place. I mean, you'd really like to say that about half of the Republican Congress, but you don't, because it's not a decent thing to say. It's not a right thing to say. It's not a moral thing to say. And when you go into the playground, suddenly you shove people and punch them and push them, you're going to start a fight. And that is what's going on. We do not want that. The Republican Party has now flirted with violence. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Thanks for calling. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.